Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everybody, it's Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about how to keep your cool when someone at work says something that feels like an attack.
Ooh.
Our question comes from someone struggling with a competitive colleague who takes verbal jabs at him during meetings. After that, we'll spend the second part of our podcast discussing how not to take their bait.
Ooh, this is a great topic. It can be so challenging not to fight back or get angry when it seems like someone is being unfairly hard on you.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope that listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, what's our question?
I work on a small but influential executive team within a large company. One of my coworkers seems to be in constant competition with me. She often takes verbal jabs at me during meetings with staff from other departments. It makes me furious, but when I defend myself, I'm accused of having an angry tone. Last week, it happened again, and I was called in by my boss, who said my temper is a problem. I wanted to tell this boss that the environment is a big part of the problem. We don't have any rules for how to treat one another. What should I do?
Yeah. I'm sorry you're getting called in and that you're the problem, but you've got to understand that is the way it's being perceived. Mm-hmm. So it almost doesn't matter how much this person, you know, jabs at you. Mm-hmm. I think you have to really prep prior to any meetings with this person on not reacting.
Yeah.
And we have a process of unhooking because at this point, I'm sure you know this is what's going to happen.
Exactly. I like that idea of getting ready for the jabs since you know they're coming.
You know they're coming.
Yeah. And also having a few things that you can say. I know at one point we said in Mean Girls at Work about people who kind of attack you at meetings, instead of reacting immediately to sort of, you know, let me take a note of that or interesting point, I'd like to think about that, or somehow neutralizing it a little bit so that you don't get in there and try to sock it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is going to take a lot of self-control.
Yeah.
That's why I think the prep is really important, that you talk yourself off the ledge before you even walk in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this person says to jab at you, but I don't know whether they're questions or they're just nasty comments.
Yeah.
But they probably do not need to be answered
or responded to.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would pretend I was writing, maybe even writing down what the person said.
Absolutely.
Don't even make eye contact. Don't even give them an opportunity to get to you. Mm. That's really, you know, let them pick another target, which is what they do. You know, if they're no longer getting the thrill from you, they're going to get it from somebody else.
Yeah.
Because the kind of person who does this just, why do they do it?
Because I think the person has actually stated it perfectly. They're in competition with you. And so, but this is the classic passive aggressive competitive person, right? They're covertly competitive with you. So it is their job in every meeting for you to look lower and them to look higher.
And they figured out how to do it.
And they probably know you well enough that they know your, what we call
pain point.
Pain point. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right, they know how to do it.
Yeah, I actually really like the idea of doing unhooking. One thing that you could do besides physically calming your system down before the meeting is take one of those inventories of really, you know, what's happening here, what's likely to happen, what are the facts, what's this person's part, what's my part, and what are my options, and really trying to slow the whole process down. Because I think it is that when we get heated up, our mind starts to race and our emotions start to race, and you have very little control once that happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Once I'm hooked, I'm hooked.
Right.
I don't really know how to unhook once I'm hooked. So I think that's really true.
Yeah.
But, you know, so if you're not feeling this in the workplace or at meetings, you're probably feeling it at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, because this happens to me with my family. I feel like the siblings, we all know how to piss each other off.
Yeah. You know, all the buttons to press.
And they're old stories.
Yes,
that, like, they, you know, we should be able to laugh at them now, but they still know how to get us. So, you know, everybody has a situation in their life where somebody tries to, you know, hit your button so that then you go off and you look like the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that brings in another point, which is it's always good to know what your buttons are, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it about being respected or not respected? Or do you worry that you're viewed as intelligent or not intelligent? Or do you worry that what you have to say isn't important? You know, whatever, we all have certain buttons, invisible buttons, that will get tripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know for me personally, whenever someone points out, you know, says I'm wrong or says I've made some huge mistake, which I often have made, the part of me that wants to be perfect gets very defensive and feels really ashamed and needs and wants to fight back or defend myself.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So that, and you may even have this with personal friends or, you know, like we all have this. We all have this ability to get ticked off when someone hits that hot button, whatever that is for us.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm meeting people for the first time and they don't know when they trip on it.
Yes.
You know, and then I have a strong reaction and they're like, wait a minute.
What just happened? What did I do?
What's going on here? I don't even know you. And I don't want to know you. So, you know, you have to, it's true. You do have to know what your own, what insecurities or your own hot buttons are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just thinking of my spouse and how talented he is at hitting my buttons.
Well, I think that's a given.
The people who are closest to us often know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But it's taken me a long time to be able to say, you know, take a breath and say, you say the sweetest things as opposed to, what the hell are you talking about? You know, I'm working, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, is this something that you should bring up to your boss, this lack of any rules for...
No.
Treatment, behavior, the environment.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I mean, I understand you know, this person thinks, oh, you were going to put some rules in place and that's going to take care of this. No, we're actually trying to tell you that it's something else.
Right.
Uh-huh. That the problem is something else. That this person is hitting your sore spot and you're reacting and that's why you look bad.
Mm-hmm. Right. And chances are, even if you created rules, this individual would find a way to work around them to still hit your sore spot.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you can come up with rules. I mean, we've helped clients do that, but I don't think that's going to cure this particular problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to start and just come from the fairness perspective for a moment and say, I'm sorry, this is happening. It isn't fair. And unfortunately, it's a very common occurrence, as Kathy's saying, and I'm thinking about clients actually that I have that where sometimes if a friend gets promoted and then that, so the person who gets promoted suddenly feels these jabs or attacks coming from a former friend who's now their employee.
Right. Right.
And they don't understand, why is this happening? I've never done anything to this person. I didn't mean anything, you know, by getting a promotion. I certainly wasn't disrespectful, but I can't stop them from coming at me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes in a situation like that, you have to take the person aside or ask them out to coffee, you know, and have a different kind of a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Yes, you do.
All right. So I think we kind of said it. Do you have anything else you want to throw in? All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And if you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2.
If you want to get onto our email list, please text us also at 22828 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word, 22828. You can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be right back.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show discussing how not to take the bait at work. And I'm going to say at home, too. But basically, this is a workplace show.
Yeah.
So how not to take the bait. Let's just first address, what is the bait?
Right. Can take so many beautiful forms.
It can be a lot of things.
Yeah. So I was thinking you could take, someone may take credit for your idea. Mm-hmm. Someone may be a far better self-promoter than you. And you may find, I've had this many times with clients, that one of your colleagues either flirts with the boss or bows down and, you know, ingratiates themselves a lot. And that for you feels provocative. What are some of the baits?
I mean,
you know?
What bothers me is when other people have not taken the time to look me up. Let's say we're meeting for the first time, and they haven't spent any time looking,
finding out about you,
right? Research. So that I first have to tell them that, oh well, I wrote books on this subject, or I find that very offensive. Personally, that feels like real bait to me. Like I took the time to look you up.
Yeah.
And read about you so that I could hit the ground in a conversation. So I don't know. That's something that's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that would be a bait for
that's
you.
That's a bait for me.
Okay.
So anyone listening.
How about you, Logan? Do you have any thoughts about it?
People who don't take accountability is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. Just say that you made a mistake and move forward.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who refuse to take responsibility and own their mistakes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah,
bait.
That'll do
big
it.
One.
I also, another one for me is anyone who's rude or discourteous or dismissive.
Mm.
That's a real bait for me.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the tail of you, Logan. I don't like when somebody says they're going to do something and then they don't do it. Or they say they're just about to get to it, or they did it and they didn't.
And
I don't
days
like
later.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lack of integrity when people don't tell the truth. I really have a problem with that. Because I can hear the truth, even if I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But deceiving me is a problem.
Right. And how about the chronically late people?
Yeah. I mean, that's always a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a bait.
Yeah, that can be a bait. Yeah. What else?
Well, I think the other thing that I would say is someone who's particularly arrogant. That can be a real bait for me, or someone who's super judgmental, that I can have a really strong reaction to that, you know, and sort of says things, harsh things about groups of people that they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many baits.
Many baits.
Well, there's many. That's right. There's many. I mean, I'm thinking of a ton more that I've got. So, but everyone has to know your own. You have to know the things that, so that people, because people are going to trip on your, you know, whatever.
Oh, I just thought of one more broad category, but the people who are really selfish, so you help them and then they refuse to help you.
I was going to actually bring that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
That's fun for me, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're real givers here, so, you know, yeah, that's not a good one. Yeah, so it's probably even more... I don't want to go.
Yeah.
So we got it.
Yeah.
All right, so we've identified what the bait is, you know, and you have to identify your own, like, what is it that, you know is going to take you to a place you don't like to go.
Right, so taking the bait would be that you end up reacting and perhaps erupting emotionally in a way that makes you look like the crazy person.
Right. Right. Yeah, I got to work on this. So, what I've learned is, you know, if you can just, you know, if you can talk to yourself in the moment and say, oh, this doesn't feel good. I don't like what this person is doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to back off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just back off. Maybe write down everything they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I recently did that with somebody who I felt really uncomfortable in the phone call. So I wrote down everything she said.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that helped me get focused.
Mm-hmm.
On more, not so much how I was feeling, but on the words.
Did it prevent you from kind of lashing back?
Not totally.
Somewhat. I was going to say, I think that unfortunately part of this process is you probably have to take the bait a few times and mm-hmm. regret it mm-hmm. so that you know what mm-hmm. you need to prepare for. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this person, she probably caught you off guard if you didn't know her and you're having a conversation. Right. So she caught you off guard. And so the things that she was saying set you off. And because you weren't prepared, one would be more likely to have a strong reaction.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think it is for me when I'm thrown and I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when it usually I take it.
Right.
Right. Right.
All right. So really the key here is about your system, your mm-hmm. physical, mental, emotional system, and finding whatever ways you can to cool it down.
Yes.
Right? Because we want to strike when the iron is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be the most simple is breathing as you're listening to the person and not reacting in the moment, not saying anything. And zip your lip. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm. First rule, zip it up.
Yeah. And I would say it's interesting. I think response is like, I need to think about that.
Or interesting.
Interesting. Mm. Those are very underutilized terms in mm-hmm. the heat of the moment. You know, mm-hmm. that we need that moment to pause and collect ourselves. So it's zip your lip, respond minimally, breathe. And I love Kathy's idea of the thing of, you know, do something that can contain what you're thinking and feeling. And that often could be writing, mm-hmm. taking notes, or if you're not a writer, if you're just a phone or iPad person, you can, you know, click away, but do something that helps you kind of put it all in a little bit of a box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I try to, the unhooking is the best thing, I think, you know,
absolutely.
Which is to cool your system down if you can. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you can even, if it's possible, and this is probably what I should have done, is that, you know, I have to take another call, let me call you back.
Yeah.
And bought a couple of minutes, I think that might have been better for me. But right. I've done that with other situations where I've said, you know, I'm not going to deal with this right now because this has really got me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll come back to it. And I've handled it that way.
And that's so important that you can, in fact, revisit conversations.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people say to themselves, well, I didn't speak up in the moment, so it's over. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think you should give yourself permission to go away and come back and you can address it, mm-hmm. you know, in a cooler state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that I think is the key to it, is the cooler state. And learning also what your bait is. That's, I think, the biggest thing, so that you can say to yourself, oh, this person is just...
Right, going, I'm activated now.
Yeah, I'm activated. I got to cool off and not respond in a way that's going to make me look bad. This is about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This isn't about me.
Right.
That's a hard one.
It is a hard one. And I'm just thinking, I know, again, a few clients who have the person who's the baiter is a critic. And so they'll just keep criticizing, 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 criticizing. And then after a while, they erupt. So we understand that it can be a real challenge not to engage.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is a real challenge.
Yeah.
I hope this is helpful. We're bringing
All right.
up some tough stuff
here. Yeah, so we're saying know your bait. Not taking the bait has everything to do with cooling and calming your system down. Use our unhooking techniques or other techniques that you know to really get back into center and not react. And you can revisit the situation at a cooler time and have a powerful impact.
Yes.
How's that?
Perfect.
Good.
All right. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info at mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.